You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to week three of the Raiders Game Plan podcast. I'm your host, JT. This week, we set you up for the Raiders at the Dolphins Sunday, September 23rd at Hard Rock Stadium right outside of Miami. Thanks for downloading this podcast. We appreciate everybody on iTunes and Raiders.com. If you're new to the podcast, what we do is we start off by taking a look back at the last game, and then we game plan ahead and take a look at the contest coming up against the Dolphins. We are loaded. Seth Roberts, the wide receiver for the Silver and Black, who caught a touchdown last Sunday in Denver, will join us along with legendary coach Tom Flores, the four-time Super Bowl champion, two-time head coach of the Silver and Black as a winner of the Super Bowl, another four-time Super Bowl champ, Romo. Bill Romanowski, and we have two of the best Dolphin insiders that we could get. Ethan Skolnick will join us from Miami. He knows the team inside and out and one of the biggest sports talk hosts. Orlando Azzalgari will join us from WQAM in Miami as he's embedded with the team, and he'll tell us about what to expect with the 2-0 Miami Dolphins coming into this game on Sunday. Let's begin by looking back at last Sunday's loss to the Denver Broncos by a score of 20-19 in what I've described all week long as a gut punch loss. That was a tough one for the Raider organization, for the team and the fan base to stomach, because the Raiders had that game. And it was a game that the Raiders didn't close out. I thought the Raiders were the better team for the majority of the game, but the Denver Broncos came back and won that game. In that game, Derek Carr made history. He became the first quarterback in NFL history to complete at least 90% of his passes in a game, in which he had a total of 30-plus attempts. He ended up 29 of 32 at over a 90.6 percentage ratio. That is one of the greatest games you'll ever see as a quarterback, but he didn't win the game. And if he won the game, I think we'd be talking about that game historically for years to come. But it showed that Derek was locked in. A lot of the passes, the easier passes underneath, he was able to connect with. A couple of big plays downfield. And I thought that Derek, coming off the loss on Monday Night Football, the start of the season against the Rams, he put that criticism and loss behind him and played one of the great games, not in Raider history, but in NFL history. John Gruden talked about the great performance by number four.
He did well today. He did, what we asked him to do, protect the ball, move the football team. We had a critical third and one or fourth and one. We didn't make the play. And then at the end of the ball game, we had second and four. I don't know. We had a false start that really hurt us. We could have put him away right there. I thought Carr played great today.
He couldn't ask more of Carr in that game. He just brought his A game and played outstanding and the highest level of quarterback play that you can see in a game like that. Also, Amari Cooper had 10 receptions in the game. If you remember, going into last week, we wondered about Cooper, getting him going again, what it would take. Coach Gruden was happy that they were able to get him involved at that extent.
Cooper's involved every week. You see, the Rams are pretty good what they did today. You know, you don't have to be a genius in this league to figure out, you know, it's hard to make a first down. Some weeks you're hot, some weeks you're not. Teams can take away one player if they want to, and somebody else has to step up. But he's going to be involved every week. I hope everybody's happy.
It was a very encouraging game for Amari Cooper. He was the focus of the offense. He made a lot of big plays in this game, and Coop clearly at this point is ready to take his game to the next level. He crossed the 3,000 yards mark of his career in that game against the Denver Broncos, becoming just one of three Raiders to do so in their first 50 games. Warren Wells and the great Fred Biletnikoff. That is rare air for Amari Cooper and Derek Carr and all of his great accomplishments. But the Raiders lose the game to the Broncos by a score of 20-19. On that last drive, you got to tip your cap to Case Keenum. Drove the team downfield, set up the game-winning field goal, and the Raiders lose a critical game in the AFC West on the road, and they're going to have to bounce back with an early start for their body clock. It's a 1 o'clock local start, 10 a.m. body clock start for the Raiders as they make one of their longest road trips of the year. But a lot of good came out of that game other than the final score. Hopefully the Raiders build momentum and they can get going. With Colt Miller on the offensive line, the way that defense played throughout most of the game. And the fact that in both games this year, the Raiders had the lead at the half, they just got to find a way to finish. And John Gruden understands that. He knows that this team's got better football in front of them.
We got to do something. We got to get there. We got to win in some one-on-ones and maybe call up some more blitzes. We got to figure something out. We will.
They will. And I think John Gruden this week, as always, addressed the media several times to have the team ready for this road trip against the Dolphins in a game that they won last year on a critical game with Marshawn Lynch on the ground. I was at that game last year in South Florida, another game where the Raider Nation will show up and fans will be all over Hard Rock Stadium in a game that the Raiders need to come home before we get you set for the Cleveland Browns next week. I wanted to start off this week's podcast with some adrenaline. So we welcome in to begin the four-time Super Bowl champ, one of the fittest and greatest linebackers of his era, the great Bill Romanowski joins us on the Game Plan podcast. And Romo, you were there. You were there on the sidelines pregame. You were in Denver. Give us the big picture and the takeaway from the loss.
Big picture is I really do believe that John Gruden did a good job getting Derek Carr ready to play in that game. Again, they played a great first half, and they came out the second half. The only issue I have is they played not to lose instead of to go out there and just take that second half and take a victory from the Denver Broncos, and they weren't able to get it done.
Romo, it's tough to do that, and again, that's the type of player you were. You wanted to put teams away. What is it like to bounce back from a game like that where you knew you were the better team, you had the 19-10 lead, all they needed was another score or another opportunity for a late first down to ice that game away, and then on the defensive side, which is your specialty, Case Keenum was able to go down the length of the field to set up that game-winning field goal.
Yeah, and that all starts with a punt that goes into the end zone, you know, so you're not able to, you know, pin them back, say, around the five-yard line. So they had a nice little start there. And you could just see that they made the right adjustments in the second half. And what they did is they started pushing the ball downfield. And, again, that's what they did on that last drive. And they're able to get in field goal position. All we had to do was tackle a guy and not let him get out of bounds, and we win the football game. We were one play away in a lot of different scenarios in that second half, and we would have sealed it, but we weren't able to get it done.
Bill Romanowski joins us. Bill, Paul Gunther is working with what he has. Obviously, you're an expert on this as a four-time Super Bowl champ. There are times you're on a team where the roster isn't complete. We put the Khalil Mack trade behind us here, but obviously that's a great pass rusher that is gone. Two new defensive tackles because of the injury to Jelly Ellis on IR, and obviously P.J. Hall was in the boot. He wasn't able to go. What do you think the scheme of this defense should be, especially in the second half when they're playing with the lead?
You know what? I think he called a good game.
Yeah.
It comes down to players got to go out there and make plays. You know, defensive coordinators call a defense, and it's up to the players to go out there and execute and make plays. How I look at it is every great football team has two difference makers on each side of the ball, at least two. On defense, we don't have a difference maker. On offense, we do, but on defense, we don't. And that was Khalil Mack. We don't have him anymore, and we need the young guys to step it up, and we need the free agents to get to a point where they can go out there and make plays. I thought the first half, they did a good job. Three and out, and it was that kind of a ball game, and they did a great job. They made the big interception down in the red zone, which was a big-time play. They came out in the second half, and they weren't able to make a big play. and we only needed one.
Romo, in your years of playing, especially if you played in September, early in the year in Miami, tell the Raider fans how difficult it is to play in that environment, in that humidity, and especially if you're a West Coast team playing that early game at 1 o'clock local time in South Florida.
I remember early in my career, and it was my second year. We played down in Miami, and I had to do a punt over again. And then I had to go out on defense. And you know how badly I wanted to be out there on the field. I could not go out there to take that first play. I literally had to say, you have to get someone in there for me for one play. Because I completely had nothing left. I was that zapped of energy. And I had one play. I went back out there and, played the rest of the game. But I tell you what, that humidity absolutely can destroy you. And it's not going to be easy. Hey, one thing about, Denver, it was hot. It was the hottest it's ever been, but it's a dry heat. And then you also had to deal with the oxygen a mile above, a mile high. But this humidity is a whole different ball game, and this is really going to be hard for the Oakland Raiders.
Romo, you're telling me, and you are probably, and I say this as a friend, one of the greatest conditioned athletes to ever play in this league. So humidity tougher than altitude?
Absolutely. It was, for me, it was. Because after the first series, you were completely zapped. I don't know what it is about humidity, but it takes away any kind of pop, any kind of anything you have. And it's like it's like you're in survival mode. And it's mind over matter, and it's how strong is your mind. And that's what this game is going to be. This one is going to be who mentally is the strongest team on the field.
Romo, finally, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, he's a gamer when he's healthy. He's a great athlete. He came off an injury. He was patient. He got his job back. This is a 2-0 team. How many times do you recall recently where the Dolphins were ahead of the Patriots in the AFC East? A lot of people didn't have them at 2-0. Leave us with what the Raiders need to do to put the fear in Ryan Tannehill, because they've been balanced. When he throws it less than 30 times, they have a high winning percentage. What do they need to do to make him pass predictable and get to him without the strongest pass rush that we've seen the first 2 weeks?
Here's what they have to do. They have to go in there and play Raider football. And I always look at it this way. When I played for the Raiders and we were on, we knew when we took that field that there was no way somebody was going to beat us. It didn't matter who we were playing against. It could have been one of the top teams in the NFL. This isn't one of the top teams. This is a good team. But bottom line is the Raiders have to go out there and do their thing, play Raider football, and go in with an attitude, we will not be denied. We're going to go in there and kick the Dolphins' ass all over this football field. I don't care what they're going to run. It doesn't matter what players show up on that field. When we play our game, we cannot be denied. And that's what has to happen.
You're the best, Romo. We needed a victory, and I wanted to call on you to set the tone. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Appreciate Romo coming on. He lives and dies with the silver and black. Very emotional and wants to see this team get a win and get back on track. How about Seth Roberts and that touchdown in Denver?
Second down and 9. Play action. Carr looks wide. Touchdown, Roberts. Checked into the game and scores the touchdown. Gruden sends the play in with him. And Seth Roberts strikes.
That's Brett Musburger on the call, and we welcome Seth Roberts to the Game Plan Podcast. Seth, thanks for the time, and take us through that entire play from getting it from the sidelines and the route on the touchdown.
I think, I was just locked in, ready to play. On that particular play, we had, I think it was all go special, and the nickel cornerback jumped outside of me, and I know that I can bend on this route. if it's like nobody in the middle of the field. And I knew there wasn't nobody in the middle of the field because the safety was playing, you know, over the top over Cook. And then I bent it in, and I actually saw Derek throw the ball. And I could tell, like, you know, he threw it with all his might. So he fit it in there. It was perfect play, perfect pass, everything just worked.
Seth Roberts joins us. You know, Seth, and I'm sure you're getting this up in Alameda as you prepare for the Dolphins. A lot of fans, a lot of media critics are saying, why aren't routes opening deeper downfield? We expect to see more of this, those 20, 25, 30-yard throws where guys like Amari, Jordy, you can get open downfield. Should we expect more of that going forward?
Oh, yeah. I think you'll see a lot more of that. You know, it was only week two. You can't put the nail in the coffin on us already. You know, we really haven't even brung out everything, you know. So just be patient, you know. We're fine right now. We're still locked in, still together. And I think, you know, it's just going to get even better on down the stretch.
Seth, walk us through the news when you got the contract, you got the new money, obviously training camp, when you were out there ready to perform for John Gruden, and now to the start of the season, how you're growing as a wide receiver and especially a team leader.
Oh, you know, I'm just coming in every day with a fresh mind and listening to Coach Gruden and taking everything he has and really trying to make it into my game and put it into my game. You know, just we locked in, recognizing more things, we're communicating more, and then, you know, at the end, we just want to execute it to our ability to the best we can. And it's just good to have Coach Gruden here, you know, offensive guru. Gives you motivation, confidence to stay locked in, to go out there and have swagger to kill the opponent.
Seth, interesting game with the Dolphins because they lead the NFL, number one ranked in interceptions with 5. They have a lot of ball hawks. It's going to be really important to understand the double team, work off the play action because they're playing with a lot of momentum down in South Florida.
Yeah, I think it's early right now, and I didn't know that. You know, they led the league in interceptions. That's pretty big. I guess we got a task ahead of us, right?
No doubt about it. I mean, the Dolphins, I think, are a team that a lot of people didn't expect them to be undefeated. Seth, as you know, we're used to the Patriots, obviously, right, in the division there. But talk about what happened after the Denver game. What led you to believe, and that was a tough loss. You know, it was a gut punch for a lot of the Raider Nation. But the leadership that you saw from Coach Gruden and the coaches in the locker room post-game and how you put a loss behind you and get ready for the next opponent.
Coming from week one, you know, we lost, but I feel like we still ended on a good note. You know, there were some positives, like Coach Gruden said. And it's just like last week in Denver, you know, we ended off on some good positives, things that we saw that, you know, that were working for us and things that we can't get better on. But I think we just have to keep coming together, like you say, every day and just keep believing and just go out there, have a clean mind and just play fresh.
Hey, Seth, finally, as we wrap it up, you had 3 targets, 3 receptions, 43 yards, and a touchdown. Amari had 10 receptions, and Jared Cook, the week before, broke the franchise record for receiving yards at tight end. I would assume this is really going to open up nicely for you. The double teams that the tight end will see, or especially Amari, or at sometimes Jordy, which will give you that one-on-one coverage. Let's wrap it up with how excited you are as you break down film, knowing that you're going to be open the rest of the year.
Oh, super excited, man. It's like I was off on Tuesday. You know, I was just watching highlights and cut-ups, man, just getting my mind right and molding me to be ready on Sunday. You know, just the small things, sitting on the couch, you know, knowing the nickel corner, the safety, you know, the corner cats and stuff. You know, just being prepared. I feel like I'm locked in, and every other guy on this team is thinking about the same thing, you know.
Hey, I'm assuming your dad was pretty happy. Your dad's your biggest fan.
Yeah, man. You know, he texts me. My mom, she was watching the game by herself, but I'm glad I did that for her. She said she wanted to be home, you know, watching me play on TV by herself, running around the house screaming, and that's what she did.
Congrats, Seth. Get a win. Thanks a lot for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Just a win.
We appreciate the Raiders landing us Seth Roberts this week. Appreciate his time while he's prepping for this game. Now let's get out to one of the most successful sports talk hosts in Miami from the Big O Show on 560 WQAM. Orlando Azzalgari joins us. And Orlando, let's begin. The Dolphins are 2-0. The Raiders are 0-2. Feels like a critical moment early in the season for the Silver and Black.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on, JT. You got to answer me this question here, because the rumor is that, you know, they are coming to Florida. They're coming to South Florida. We're kind of used to people coming here to retire. Oldest team in the NFL. Is there any truth that they're just coming over here to retire? Is that what's going on with the Raiders?
Not at all. John Gruden is so bitter and evil right now because he hasn't won a game yet. You've never seen a guy more focused, and I know he was right up the road when he was with Tampa in the Super Bowl, but he has a plan, a vision for the Silver and Black. It's off to a slow start, but what's your perception of the Raiders, considering they had the lead at halftime in their first two games, and they should have been able to put Denver away last week?
I know. It was heartbreaking to watch how that game ended and the way Denver was able to get it done. And I just wonder, do they have enough talent right now at this point in time? And whatever Gruden's vision is, does he have the players at this point in time to kind of get that done? Because you watch it, and they have, you know, they're playing good for a half, but then that second half in the game's four quarters, are they running out of gas? And, you know, I had some fun with you about talking about their age, since they're the oldest team in the NFL. And you just wonder that as the months go on, will it wear down on this team? Because, you know, when I've watched people rebuild normally, JT, they get rid of the old and they bring in young and they bring in new legs and things like that. I watched Jimmy take over for Shula here, and that's exactly what he did. He brought in Jason and Zach and Sam Madison, Pat Surtain, and he turned things around at least and put it in, headed in the right direction. Never really finished it off, but put it at least headed in the right direction. Right now, the way I see it, I don't think the Raiders are headed in the right direction. I didn't like what they did with Khalil Mack. That's a generational player. You don't trade pass rushers. That's basically the Dolphins trading Jason Taylor in his fifth year. You're crazy. You can't trade a Hall of Famer. You make money off those guys even when they're retired. You go to Dolphin Stadium right now, you'll see Zach and Jason Taylor jerseys all over the place, and they've been retired for a few years because that love is still there for those kind of guys. And even when the new jerseys come out, they come out in their numbers because those guys are still more popular than the guys that are currently on the field. Generational players you don't get rid of. And that was the best player on the team because Derek Carr is good, but Khalil Mack is better at his job than even Derek Carr is at his job. I would have never gotten rid of that guy because he makes everybody's life that much easier. Look at the Bears right now. Their lives are a little easier because Khalil Mack's a part of it.
Orlando Azzalgari joins us, big radio host in South Florida from Intercom, WQAM in Miami, carried my show for well over a decade. He knows this team inside and out, and Gruden's owned the Mack situation. He told everybody, he said it again coming into this Dolphin game, he's going to be second guess for a while, but their goal now is to win a game where Derek Carr played at such a high level, but they couldn't close the door. What's been working with Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins here? Because the first game was very bizarre. The lightning storms, a delay, the second longest game of all time, and then all the hype coming in from the tri-state area of New York with Sam Darnold and the Jets off to that 1-0 start. That's a big win for the Dolphins, quieting those Jet fans in the division.
Yeah, no, listen, they've played some pretty smart football. They haven't made a lot of mistakes, which has really helped them out, JT. Now, It's a great start. They're 2-0, but I've tried to temper the enthusiasm for Dolphin fans because the reality is Jack Conklin, their all-pro right tackle, went out right before that game against Tennessee, and then during that game they lost Taylor Lewan, their left tackle, their Pro Bowl left tackle, and they lose their quarterback, and, you know, they lose their tight end, and they had to, you know, depend on Blaine Gabbert, and I'm sorry, I'm not really a Blaine Gabbert guy. If you can't beat that guy, you've got to be able to get it done. And then, like you said, the New York hype, we get the Jeremy Lin-type hype for Sam Darnold here right now. And people got to remember, he was a turnover machine at USC. So he's already got three turnovers in 2 weeks. That's not a good pace by the time the season ends. He's going to be throwing a lot of interceptions. So Miami was able to kind of bait him and get him into some of those spots. T.J. McDonald completely baited him. He didn't see him sitting there in the zone. He stepped right into the interception. Then the play you just played right now, Xavien Howard actually ran the route better than the wide receiver. So it was just one of those things that they played a rookie quarterback that is going to make mistakes like every rookie quarterback does in the league. He just had that, you know, that debut, and now we're finding out that the Lions maybe are pretty bad, and that you know, Matt Patricia might be in, you know, a little over his head right now trying to figure things out. So Miami, it's great that they've got a 2-0 start, but they've got a coach that's in his third year, kind of established, got a seventh-year quarterback at this point in time. He was going up against a rookie. They took care of business, and they took care of business against the Titans. It'll be interesting to see right now against the desperate Raiders.
Yeah,
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Orlando, this is an interesting team with the Raiders now because I think they're clearly better than their record. But excuses die, the record stands. You got to win games. And it would have did wonders for the Raiders to be 1-1 coming into this game. After this game, the Silver and Black are home against Cleveland. We know Cleveland still hasn't won a game this year. So this is a really big momentum builder. It's an early start for the Raiders, 10 a.m. on their body clock. But a sense of urgency that I don't think John Gruden and his staff expected this early into the season. I want to know about Marshawn Lynch and what he's going to meet at the line of scrimmage, because I see the Dolphins are number one in the NFL with 5 interceptions. What's that front like, the defensive line and the linebackers, if the Raiders decide, like last year when they beat the Dolphins, a heavy dose of beast mode?
Well, I got to tell you something. They better be able to run the ball, because if they don't and those tackles don't come to play, they got to deal with Cameron Wake, and Robert Quinn has been playing out of his mind, JT. He has been such a great addition, a real steal for a fourth-round pick for the Dolphins to add that kind of a veteran pass rusher. And then William Hayes is a load coming off the bench. Charles Harris is their first-round pick, and Andre Branch is a veteran. So they've got 5 guys to rush the passer, so they keep people fresh. And at defensive tackle, they've got some young guys, Devon Godchow from Clemson, and Vincent Taylor, 2 picks that they had in the 5th and 6th rounds last year. Those guys have become really good rotational players. Akeem Spence is a true pro. And Jordan Phillips is one of those guys that really frustrates you, JT, because he's a first-round talent and can make those kind of plays and can dominate at times, but he does it very little. It happens sporadically. He kind of disappears. He has that ability, but he has actually played better these last 2 games, or these first 2 games. Why? It's a contract year for Jordan Phillips. So this guy didn't really play consistently the first 3 years. Frustrating. Dropped in the 2nd round, first round talent. This year, you've seen it before. We've all seen it on all the teams around the league. There are certain guys that, you know, they kind of wake up their contract year, and it looks like Jordan Phillips has woken up. So if they're able to control beast mode and they're not able to run the ball, it's going to be a long day for the Raiders, because Miami has the guys to get after at the pass rush. And Xavien Howard is one of those guys that you can put on your number one wide receiver. Last year, Brandon Cooks for the Patriots didn't do anything because Xavien Howard completely took him out of the picture. So I would imagine Cooper is going to be shadowed by him right now, because Jordy Nelson hasn't really done much so far in the first couple of games. So I would imagine that they're going to take care of him on the other side. So it'll be interesting to see how things work out, because if they can't run the ball, JT, I think it's going to be a long day for the Raiders, and Miami is going to dominate in that sweltering heat.
Well, I know you have access, you have field passes, all that, like I do in Oakland. If you can bring by some shaved ice, make sure those mist machines are working well, make sure the Raiders have some shade. You Dolphins crack me up. Every time the Silver and Black goes down there, you make them bake in that hot sun, you make that humidity go up a little bit, but John Gruden's got no choice, Big O. He needs a victory. This is a much bigger game than the rest of the country thinks, because of the Raiders looking for Gruden's first win and the Dolphins looking to go 3-0. I really appreciate you joining us. Leave us with something for our listeners as we game plan this game.
Well, listen, one of the things that I think you're going to be interested to see is Adam Gase, because he's one of those guys that, like John Gruden, he's a little bit of a renegade. So he can take some chances at times, and he's going to do some things, and he's going to test that Raiders defense every once in a while. He won't take a lot of chances, but when he does, he's going to dial it up deep, and it's going to be guys like Kenny Stills or a kid by the name of Jakeem Grant. look out for him, JT and Raiders fans. You haven't seen this kid, but this kid possesses 4-2 speed. And they put him out wide. They bring him out of the backfield. They line him up in the slot. They move him around all over the place. He's a little water bug, you know, at 5'6", 5'7". But the kid is just absolutely lights out and has got an enormous heart. And if they don't watch out, he can also get behind them and make some big plays. Look out for Jakeem Grant.
Appreciate Orlando joining us. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Big O Show. Our next guest on the Game Plan Podcast is one of the greatest coaches in Raider history, another four-time Super Bowl champion, too, as the head coach of the Silver and Black. We welcome in Tom Flores. And, Coach, good to talk to you again. Give us your big-picture analysis so far for the Raiders after two games.
Well, I think they have I think they've looked good, and I think they've looked average. I thought their first game against the Rams, they faced a pretty potent, high-potent team, but the Rams are loaded this year, I think. They had some quality players, and they've got solid performance on both sides. And the Raiders played it pretty good for about a half, but they made three crucial mistakes and cost them the game. Then the game got away from them in the fourth quarter. Against Denver, you go into Denver, they're tough to beat at home. So they played well and they controlled most of the game until the end, but they've got to be able to finish and they've got to be able to score touchdowns, not field goals.
Yeah, I agree with you. Finishing has been a big topic of conversation. Coach, Derek Carr became the first player in NFL history to complete at least 90% of his passes in a game in which he had 30-plus attempts, 29 of 32. Pretty incredible. As a former quarterback, can you talk about that percentage and how difficult that is?
Well, that's very impressive. When you think about it, you don't even think about those things until it's over. And then after the game was over, because we lost, it seems like it was all for naught. But one of those, at least one of them was dropped. It could have been a catch, that fourth down play. Should have been. It was a hard catch, but it should have been a catch. Then the game would have been different, and the Raiders would have won. But that's pretty impressive. He was all right on the market, and finally they used Cooper, and he responded with an excellent football game.
Tom Flores joins us. Yeah, Amari Cooper, 10 receptions, 116 yards. He had a big game there. They obviously wanted to target him and get him going. And, Coach, what we've been talking about heading into this game against the Dolphins is the ability for the Raiders now to stretch the field with Martavis Bryant. Jordy Nelson obviously has been quiet to start the year. Amari just had the big game. And then Jared Cooper broke the Raider franchise record in the first game with 180 receiving yards at tight end. But, Coach, talk to us about the difference between those 10, 15-yard throws and now how John Gruden and Derek Carr can connect on those 20, 30, 40-yard throws downfield. It's not that easy.
No, it's not that easy. That's not a high-percentage game ball game. The high-percentage game is, the bubble screen and the short passes, the control passes. That's the high-percentage game. Low percentage is when you throw the ball down the field a little bit more. So but they have to do that. They've got the receivers to do it. They can run deep crossing routes and hit the vacant areas against those zones, as they did one time with Cooper that's last Sunday at Denver. The offensive line is a key when you do things like that, because they have to be able to hold out the pass rush. And so far in two games against two pretty good defensive rush teams, they've done a good job.
Raider legend, football legend, Tom Flores is kind enough to join us. Coach, you dealt with it throughout your career, and you won a lot of games and two Super Bowls as a head coach and one as an assistant and another one with Kansas City. John Gruden's catching a lot of heat from the Mac move to starting off 0-2, but believing in John Gruden, knowing him the way I do, he's obviously focused at the next game, and that's the Miami Dolphins coming up on Sunday. That's a tough trip. Playing 10 o'clock in the morning, body clock, a 1 o'clock start in Miami. Miami leads the league in interceptions with 5. They have some ball hawks. And, Coach, a lot of people didn't expect the Dolphins to be 2-0 ahead of the Patriots already in the AFC East. Looking at this matchup, what do you think is imperative that the Raiders do to win that game on the road?
I think it's imperative that they don't panic, that they continue to do what they do well. They've got to run the ball a little better, I think. And as we mentioned earlier, they've got to be better in the red zone. You can't get much better passing-wise, but you can improve run-wise, and you got to be able to stop the other team when necessary. They just Miami is on a roll, but the Raiders have to be big enough and good enough. And, you know, if you watch a game last Sunday, it was really hot in Denver. I mean, really hot. And at the end of the game, the Raiders had no pass, but they ran out of gas. And they got to be ready because Miami is going to be equally hot and humid.
Yeah, Coach, that's an important point because I talked to Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, about that before the game earlier in the week, and he has so many players. It's a new roster, and he's got to get these guys on a rotation where certain guys will be rested. He'll get that pass rush. They had two brand-new defensive tackles who came over before the start of that game, and as you nailed it, Coach, they just ran out of gas late. Do you think that we'll see more blitzing if they're in a situation like that again? Because I don't think it was a prevent defense. You just got to tip your cap to Case Keenum in Denver for their ability to go down the field and set up that game-winning field goal.
Yeah, the Denver has some pretty good receivers, and not being able to put a rush on the quarterback was to Denver's advantage, and the fact that they were out of gas, like you and I said, that was to their advantage. It's pretty tough to blitz every play when you're in that situation, because the guys down the field also are running a lot too, the defenders, the backs, and the linebackers. So it's just an overall thing. They've got to be in good condition. They've got to be hydrated, and just play the best they can. I think if they play their top game, it'll be a good game for them.
Yeah, Coach, and that's what I wanted to wrap it up with you on, because the Raiders scored 13 in the first game. They had the lead at the half, as you mentioned. They had a 19-10 lead against the Broncos. They didn't score 20 points in that game. When you know you have a high-powered octane offense, this is a very good offense with Pro Bowlers up front on the offensive line. They're deep at wide receiver. They have several options at running back, and the ability to have a breakout game when maybe you're pressing a bit or you have to take the next level and you have to attack more downfield. It just seems like this Raider team, Coach, is going to have to score 30-plus points a game in a lot of these games to win.
I agree. They're going to have to be better, more productive, and that just comes with precision, working together a little longer, which they, you know, every game will be hopefully better. And then also the defense playing together. The defense is the one that hasn't played together that much. As you mentioned, new guys coming in the week of the game and expecting to perform at the top level. And I don't know that they've gotten the feel of who their first good team is and who their pass rushers really are right now. And so every week they've got to grow. And, you know, John is an intense coach. And I can imagine right now he's got that grimace on his face as they're practicing.
Lastly, Coach, as a former GM and a head coach, it's really difficult to put a roster together. And this is a work in progress with injuries. Obviously, the Mac move, what they're trying to do, the draft picks that they have for next year. Can you just leave us on how tough it is to focus on a game plan when you're also looking at personnel? You got to fill in for injuries there, because it seems like John Gruden can handle this all at once here, but this game plan coming into Miami is a really important one at 0-2.
Well, it's an important one, and John's been away from the game for quite a while. And even though he hasn't been away from the game itself, he's been away from the sideline and the meeting room and the game plan selection. So that in itself has to, come back into rhythm for John. And he's a relentless worker, so you know that he's going to work hard at it. And, it's not easy because that salary cap it doesn't enable you to build the way you used to build before. Now, you've got to look at a guy, and then you got to look at, well, how much is he making? Where does that put us in the salary cap? Well, we can't afford him, so let's go on to the next guy. Who's the next guy down the road? And those things are killers sometimes, especially if you're faced with injuries. And right now, the Raiders, I guess, are capped out because they could hold on to Khalil Mack because of it.
Coach, always a pleasure talking to you. We'll do it again real soon. Thank you so much for your time.
You got it. Anytime, JT.
Coach Flores will join us throughout the course of the year on the Game Plan Podcast. We'll have him on every month to take a look at the Raiders after critical moments in the season. And we wrap up this week's edition of the podcast with one of the best journalists in South Florida. He's a Dolphins insider at DolphinMaven.com. The great Ethan Skolnick joins us on the Game Plan Podcast. And Ethan, did you expect to see the Dolphins at 2-0 when the schedule came out?
Well, I don't know, JT, if I expected to see them undefeated because I wasn't quite sure about that road game against the Jets. But to be honest, when I saw what they did this offseason, and I've been somebody who's been pretty pessimistic about the Dolphins in recent years. I haven't liked a lot of the moves that Mike Tannenbaum has made. I didn't really like the idea of relying on Ryan Tannehill with no backup quarterback considering his recent injury history. But I really liked their offseason, JT. I thought that, you know, a lot of national analysts looked at it and said, well, they lost Landry, they lost Pouncey, they lost Sue. But I think if you really watch the Dolphins, you realize that in some cases it was kind of addition by subtraction. And I like the additions that they made. I think they got more versatile. You look at their targets through the first two games, they've spread it out between five or six different targets, receivers. And, you know, in the first two games last year, Landry had 26 targets. And I just think they've gotten more diverse. You know, I like the addition of Gore. I like the addition of Amendola. I think they needed some veteran leadership. So I thought they had a chance to get off to a decent start.
Let's stay with Tannehill for a second, because I've always liked him. I think athletically, he's a guy who can do a lot of things, from his background as a receiver to a guy who can throw. He understands concepts with the offense, and then he had to be very patient through an injury, wondering if he was going to have that job long-term. In this league, as you know, quarterbacks come and go. What do you like about him and his makeup, how he was able to rehab through the injury and be ready to hit the ground running?
Well, you know, look, the thing about Ryan Tannehill that nobody's ever really questioned is his toughness. You know, that's the biggest thing. I mean, you look at a guy who took a ton of hits through his first four seasons. I mean, they had awful, awful offensive lines. And, you know, some of it is his own doing. He doesn't always have the best pocket awareness. And I still think that's something that you got to work through. It's just not natural for him as it is for some other quarterbacks. But, look, he's always wanted to play. And even if you look at what happened last year, it was a product of him wanting to play, right? Like, he didn't want to get the knee surgery at first. They thought they could treat it. He comes back, gets hurt again. They have to reach out to Jay Cutler, which I thought was a mistake. And then, you know, they give Jay Cutler $10 million, which essentially means they're going to be just good enough to not get a high draft pick, but not actually compete for the playoffs. And so, you know, I thought the reason I thought they'd be better this year was Ryan Tannehill. You know, that in the offseason. But, you know, people who had them at under 6.5 wins, which is what the number was in Vegas, I don't really know what they were looking at, because this is a team that won 10 games 2 years ago. Yes, the schedule was soft. Yes, they won a lot of close games, but they did win 10 games. They were 8-5 when Tannehill got hurt. He had won 7 of his last 8 starts. And so, you know, you end up replacing this year Jay Cutler, who was done, didn't care, with a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who was effective under Adam Gase. I don't know how you look at it and say the team's going to be worse. Like, that's the one thing, JT, I just really didn't understand. And then I looked at the schedule and I said, you know, as we're talking about, okay, open with the Titans, winnable game at home, 1 o'clock game, at the Jets, breaking in a new quarterback, possibly winnable, the Raiders in transition, obviously winnable. I didn't think they'd get off to a bad start. And so with all of those things put together, you know, I think what Ryan has gotten now is just comfortable. He's comfortable in Gase's system. He's never going to be elite. But I really don't understand why he's so polarizing to Dolphin fans, JT. I don't get it. Like, he's a slightly above-average quarterback. This is a team that, since Marino started to decline in the early to mid-90s, has not had slightly above-average quarterback play for the most part. I mean, they had a couple of decent years of Jay Fiedler. They had one mistake-free year from Chad Pennington. They had an okay year from Gus Frerotte. And the rest has been trash. And so I don't get a team that's had that kind of quarterback history having a problem with a guy who typically is 2-1 touchdowns to interceptions, completes about 65 to 67% of his passes, and doesn't lose games for you. He doesn't win a ton of games for you, but he doesn't lose them. And I have him somewhere between about 12 and 15 in starting quarterbacks in the league. And I think if you have a decent supporting cast around him, you can be effective.
Ethan Skolnick joins us, not only a great journalist, but a great insider for the Dolphins. Number one, the Dolphins in interceptions this year. That's something that got John Gruden's attention. You saw the performance by Derek Carr, 29 of 32, the first man ever over 30 attempts to throw for 90-plus percent. That was a great performance by Carr, but I think it got lost in the fact that they lost the game. What do the Raiders need to worry about when it comes to the Dolphins' defense, especially that secondary?
Well, yeah, the defense has come a long way. And, you know, they have two things that can make you successful defensively for the long haul, which is that, you know, A, they have the potential for a really good pass rush. Robert Quinn has been a really, really good addition for a fourth-round pick. And, you know, they bring him in for a fourth-rounder. He's a couple of seasons removed from double-digit sacks. And he has been sort of wreaking havoc since preseason and in the first two games. And really, if you look at Cameron Wake's history, and he has not gotten off to a fast start this year, but when you look at his history, he hasn't really had a great bookend on the other side. He did for 1 year. Olivier Vernon had a big breakout year that got him a contract from the Giants. But that's pretty much been it, JT. And so, you know, to have those two guys for pass rush, and then to have their corner play be as good as it's been so far, and Xavien Howard, I had some questions about him. You know, he did not look great early last season. Kind of started with the Patriot game late last year, but about the last five games of last year, through the preseason, first two games of this year, he's looked like a lockdown corner. He's looked like a number one corner. And so when you have that, Bobby McCain, who was very effective as a boundary corner last year, they've moved him out there instead of just the slot. Their corners are good, and their safeties are excellent. Rashad Jones is probably their best player, and he's made plays in each of the first two games, where he's, you know, as you know, he had two interceptions in the first game. He had a tackle for a loss in the second game. He made one of the biggest plays that got overlooked, which is at the very end of the half. The Jets were driving to try to make it closer, and he had a stop at the 1 yard line as time expired, and that ended up proving big because the Dolphins won by one score, 20-12. So he's been terrific, and Minka Fitzpatrick is the best draft pick the Dolphins have had in, I would say, 10 years since Jake Long. And I know there were questions, should they have taken Jake Long or Matt Ryan, and that didn't turn out to be that good. But Jake Long was a starter from the first minute he got here, and he was a productive starter, and he was a guy you didn't have to worry about at that position. They have had a lot of busts since. They've had Deion Jordan. They've had Charles Harris doesn't look great. Devontae Parker can't get on the field now. He's looking like a bust. They've had a ton of busts in the first round. Minka Fitzpatrick is not a bust. Minka Fitzpatrick, from the very first minute he got to Miami, first guy at meetings, he's a leader already. He's all over the field. Our guys at 3 yards per carry, which is one of the podcasts on our Five Reasons Sports Network, our guys had him charted last week that the Jets attacked him for more than 100 yards in the air and did not complete a pass. So he, from the very beginning, has looked the part of an NFL Pro Bowler in the next 3 years. And so when you have Fitzpatrick, you have Rashad Jones, you have Wake and Quinn as pass rushers, it can make up for the fact that they have pretty pedestrian linebackers. So I think the defense is for real. I have some questions about the offense going forward. You know, I don't think this is a 10-win or 11-win team, but I think this is a team that can win 8 or 9 games this year and challenge for a back-end wild-card spot.
You know Raider Nation travels. You've been to those games. You know from the costumes to the upper deck to the tailgates, they're coming, and they're 0-2, and they need a win. This should be an unbelievable atmosphere with the Dolphins at 2-0. Leave us on this note, the fan perspective now, because it's been, I think, a fan base that has been quiet the last couple of years, but a very proud fan base. How big would it be for them to get another win and start off the season 3-0, because the Raiders need this one in the worst way?
Yeah, they do. And here's the biggest thing to look at, JT. The week after is Patriots week.
Yeah.
So, you know, if this team can get off to a 3-0 start. And what's interesting about the Dolphins' recent history is the only two good seasons they've had of, like, the last 15, they started poorly. 2008, they were 1-3 before Tony Sparano unleashed the Wildcat. 2016, they started 1-4. Under Adam Gase, and then they got on that run that got them into the playoffs at 10-6. So they've started seasons well before, like under Joe Philbin, under others, and then flamed out. I think the reason that the fans will start to buy into this a little bit is because they're doing some things that look sustainable. It is sustainable to have a pass rush. It is sustainable to have quality corner play. It is sustainable to have two backs in Kenyon Drake and Gore that you trust. So I think that fans, if they can have a quality home win against the Raiders, you know, as you know, it's difficult for teams on the West Coast to travel for a 1 o'clock start.
No doubt about it. We appreciate your insight as always. Good to talk to you again, Ethan. Thank you.
Thank you, JT.
Appreciate Ethan Skolnick joining us. You could also follow him on Twitter at EthanJSKOLNICK. That wraps up week 3 of the Game Plan Podcast. Thanks a lot for joining us. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, thanks for checking in. Thanks for the download. Thanks for the listen. Next week, we get you ready for the Raiders as they return home to the Coliseum against the Cleveland Browns. I'm JT the Brick. Have a great week. And for all your information, keep it here at Raiders.com.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.